Exodus chapter 20. It's great to see everyone. I hope you've had a great week. We're up to commandment number 7. Amen. We've been looking at this now for several weeks. God gave us the 10 commandments for our benefit, for our good. He's not trying to steal our fun. He's not trying to make life difficult for us. When we obey the scriptures, when we obey God's commands, life is good. But before I get into my lesson, I want to introduce two young men that were baptized into Christ this week at Georgia Gwinnett College. I'd like for Jake Groover and Junior Demas to go ahead and stand up. The 7th commandment. In verse 14, it simply says, you shall not commit adultery. The King James Version says, thou shalt not commit adultery. A kid came home from Sunday school one afternoon, and the dad asked the little 5-year-old, says, what did you guys talk about at church today? And the son said, we looked at the 10 commandments. Says, dad, what does it mean that you shall not commit agriculture? The father thought very quickly on his feet. Says, well, son, it means you don't sow your seed in somebody else's field. That's a pretty good definition. You shall not commit adultery. Adultery is the willful violation of one's marriage vows through sexual involvement with another person. It is sexual activity outside of the boundaries of marriage. When you do that, you are going to incur God's judgment. You know, we're told in Genesis chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, verses 21 to 24, the Bible says, for this reason, a man would leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. God instituted marriage. It was his idea. That's the way God wants it. He wrote the book on it, and we need to follow his lead and his laws when it comes to marriage. Amen? Marital infidelity is throughout the scriptures. Marital purity is also throughout the Bible. Now, adultery has some close relatives called fornication and immorality. Where if you are not married to somebody, again, living together is not marriage. If you have not gone to court, if you have not gone into a church and look at somebody and say, you know what? We dedicate our lives to each other and you make vows to each other. That is what the government recognizes as marriage. If you haven't done that, you got no business sleeping with somebody. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you that you are missing out. It's amazing when we do it God's way. When we stay pure before marriage. And then that marriage, you know, day comes around and your bride is dressed in white, looking all beautiful. And the minister says, all rise, and everybody rises. And you come up front and you make your vows and you go off on what we call the honeymoon. And And that night, you consummate that marriage. That is the way it is supposed to be. But this world has gone off and perverted it. I remember as a young man, obviously understanding what the Bible taught about no sex before marriage. And I asked my mom one question one time. I said, you know what? We've been to a few weddings lately, and you see the bride walking down the aisle, and she's already pregnant. I said, what's up with that? And she says, yeah. You're not meant to do that. But people go ahead and have sex before marriage to make sure that the woman can conceive. But it's still sin. My uncle, who was an Anglican minister, he says, you know what? I am not going to do another wedding if the wife is pregnant. I will not do it. My wife and I, we counsel people when they're getting married, both Christians and non-Christians. And let me tell you something. When you walk in and we sit down, that first appointment, one of the questions I ask as we start is, are you guys sleeping together? Because if that is the case, obviously for non-Christians, we're not going to be having this conversation. That starts right now. And people look at me and say, yes, sir. And you better believe I am asking. Because the Bible is very clear about what the Bible teaches. Amen? Amen. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit immorality. Today we sometimes call adultery infidelity. In America, we say, oh, he's having an affair. Or she's having an affair. Let's call it what it is. She's an adulterer. He's an adulterer. You didn't have an affair, you committed adultery. That's what my Bible says. Affair is not in the Bible. In Proverbs 18, verse 22, we all know the verse. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Obviously, it goes both ways. He who finds a husband finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Amen? I've been married 19 years. My beautiful wife is not here this morning. She and the girls and a few of our mothers and their daughters are at the mother-daughter retreat. But I'm telling you, whoo, it's been an awesome 19 years. Christian marriage is awesome. I highly recommend it for all the single people. It's amazing when you're living your life based on what the Bible teaches. When your marriage is based on what this says, it just gets better and better and better and better. I can't wait for the next 19 years if I'm still here. Because I made a vow to my wife, until death do us part. You know, I love Sarah, and she loves me. I'm very honest with you. I've said this one, I'll say it again. Yes, if God were to take one of us, then that marriage obviously ends. And the surviving spouse is free to marry another Christian. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But if God were to take me, if God were to take my wife, guess what? I'm not getting married again. I'm not doing it. Where am I going to find someone like that? Because I'm not going to live the rest of my life comparing this relationship to what I got. I couldn't do it. Maybe you can. I can't. And my wife feels the same way. So if God takes you, I'm not going to remarry. I can't. And I can always tell you, man, I am having the time of my life. Is it all perfect? No. There are times I act like a jerk. And I got to repent. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Are you with me? But it's amazing. When you do it God's way, it works. It's exciting. It's awesome. Sadly today, adultery and immorality are spread throughout the land like wildfire. Sex outside of marriage is so normal. People start in their teen years. Again, the young people call it, oh, they're making out. It's adultery. It's immorality. Call it what it is. Amen? Oh, but he loves me. He doesn't love you. If he loves you, he will keep his hands off of you. She doesn't like you. She doesn't love you. If she truly did, she will keep her hands off of you. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen? You say, oh, Richard, you're just talking because you're married. Let me tell you something. I became a Christian June 1st of 1986. I did not get married until March 7th, 1992. 5 years. I stayed pure and I stayed faithful. So don't tell me you cannot do it. That is what the Bible teaches. There are many in this room who were pure throughout their adult life as Christians. And then they got married to their wives as disciples. Amen? That is the way God ordained it. That's the way it is meant to be. You do it that way, it's flat awesome. Look in Leviticus 20. You know, back in the day, in the Old Testament, let me tell you something. You went out and you slept with somebody else's wife. Here was the result. Leviticus chapter 20. In verse 10. Leviticus 20 verse 10. It says, if a man or woman commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. But let me tell you something. If this was on the law, right, in the books right now, people would not be running around. In the Old Testament, you slept with somebody that was not your wife or your husband, you died. That was the price. You paid with your life. That 30 minutes of pleasure or 1 hour, whatever. You paid with your life. That's what they did back in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 22. Same idea. Deuteronomy 22. God is serious about this stuff. Deuteronomy 22, in verse 22. It says, if a man, again or woman, same thing, is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. You must purge the evil from Israel. Sleeping with somebody who is not your wife is evil. But you see, here's what happened. Satan says the opposite. Oh, look at, everybody's doing it. Everybody's having fun. You're missing out. You're not missing out on anything. You're not missing out on anything. Don't let Satan deceive you. Amen? It says must. It wasn't, let's see what happens. It doesn't, you get up on this time, you get a pass. No. You are going to die. Simple. Now, praise God, we're under the New Testament. But guess what? Look in Matthew chapter 5. Let me show you something. He said, well, they're not going to kill me, so I might as well do it. Oh, no. What did Jesus say about this? In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 27, he says, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. He's quoting Exodus 20. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to go into hell. Jesus takes it farther. You look at a woman lustfully, as far as God is concerned, you have already committed adultery. We're talking about adultery of the heart. That fine lady walks by you. And you're coming down, and you're taking that second look, you've already committed adultery. Oh, I was simply admiring her beauty. What are you looking at? Something wrong with your neck? Eyes front! Any weakling can take a second look. It takes a righteous man to be able to say like Job, in Job 31 verse 1, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I would never look lustfully at a woman. What are you looking at? Would you look at your grandmother like that? Would you look at your sister like that? So what are you looking at? Amen? You shall not commit adultery. That's what the Bible says. You know, it's amazing. This is one area where Satan really uses and trips up men. You remember David? You know what the Bible calls him in 1 Samuel 13? A man after God's own heart. What brought about his downfall? Adultery. Bathsheba. While his soldiers were out of war, in 2 Samuel 13, he stays back at home during the springtime. One day he's out on the roof of his house. He looks down and sees this woman bathing. I mean, you can just imagine, okay, he's just out there looking at, somebody bathing. He's like, oops. He should have just gone right back into his palace. Say, ooh, that was a fine lady. Who's that? She wasn't even a single woman. Oh, that's Uriah's wife, one of his generals, one of the people in his army. He says, send for her. Now, you may be sitting there going, she should have said no. He was the king. He could have had her killed for not showing up. The woman goes over, he sleeps with her. She couldn't resist. She goes home. Uh-oh. She sends word back to David. I am pregnant. Trouble. You see, that's what sex outside of marriage creates. Unwanted pregnancy. You change your future. Now, you can be forgiven of adultery. You can be forgiven of fornication. But the consequences will linger. And you will pay a price. Scripture is true. Amen? We got to be faithful. That's what tripped David up. As a matter of fact, you remember what happened when Nathan confronted him? He said to him, the sword shall never depart from your house. Four of David's sons died, three of them by the sword, because of his adultery. You see, adultery is one of those things that it not only affects you and your family and the people around you, it affects your family, it affects generations. But you see, Satan will never tell you that. Go ahead. Nobody's going to notice. You are throwing away your future. Now, don't get me wrong. You can be forgiven. We're going to look at that in a second. But you will still suffer the consequences of your adultery. That one, you can take to the bank. Whatever your bank is, whether it's First Bank or Wells Fargo, you can take that one to the bank. Look in John 8. Can you be forgiven of adultery? Yes. But the fact that you can be forgiven doesn't mean you go jump into it. You know the story? A woman was found in adultery, and they bring her to Jesus. The question I've always asked is, where's the guy? You can't commit adultery by yourself. Amen? It takes two to tango. Where's the man? Obviously, for some reason, they never brought the guy because they were trying to trap Jesus. And so they bring this woman over and it says, teacher, in verse 4, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women and the men. They left that part out. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. I want you to imagine this picture. She's caught in adultery. They probably dragged her out there with just a covering around her. The embarrassment, the shame. Let me tell you something. God sees you. Every time you're committing adultery or immorality.
And she's standing there. I'm sure she knew the law. Probably thinking, you know what? I got a few more minutes left to live before they start stoning me and I'm going to die. As they're walking away, she's standing there by herself. I'm sure she's still trembling, feeling totally ashamed. And Jesus says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir." You can hear the quiver in her voice. "Then neither do I condemn you. But go now and live your life of sin." Yes, you and I can be forgiven, but you've got to repent of sin. You got to repent of that adultery. Amen? The Bible is very, very clear. God wants us to be radical about sin. I'm sure you all know this. Adultery is the number one reason for divorce in America. I mean, just this week, there was a story on the news of a lady with her three kids who drove her car into the Hudson River. The oldest, 10 years old, was able to get out through the window. I understand at the last minute she had second thoughts. I was like, "I'm so sorry. I made a mistake." But I understand that the woman was so distraught because she found out her husband had just cheated on her. And she took her life and her two kids. Just this week. Let me tell you something. Adultery is devastating. It's terrible. It's not just a fling. It is serious. It messes up people's lives and it messes up your life. Amen? You will pay the price for years to come. That is a guarantee. Yes, God will forgive you if you truly repent. But you will pay the price. You will pay the consequences. Amen? Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Well, I'm just getting warmed up. In Hebrews chapter 13, we're familiar with this in verse 4. It says, "Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral." You know, one of the things, again, that happens when you don't keep your marriage bed pure or you go commit sexual immorality, there's something in the world today called STDs. Sexually transmitted diseases. They are horrible. Some of them, there's no cure. You keep up taking medication all your life. Amen? But you see, if you're faithful to your wife, you got nothing to worry about. What do you mean STD? I don't even know what that means. I can't spell it. Amen? Why? Because my wife and I, we're keeping our marriage bed pure. The only way you're going to get a sexually transmitted disease is by one of those spouses going to sleep with somebody with a STD. And you don't know who that person has slept with. And there's stuff going all over the place. It's terrible. For what? Is it really worth it? You see, a lot of time, again, Satan will not tell you the consequences of this. "Oh, he likes me. He's paying attention to me." You need to look at that joker and say, "You know what? You better get your hands off of me. My father and my preacher warned me about people like you. If you touch me again, I will slap you." Hey, beautiful. Who are you calling beautiful? Hey, girl, what's up? You are what's up. Go find somebody else's life to ruin. Step. Isn't that what you guys say? Don't ruin your life. It's not worth it. Oh, he loves me. I love him. He doesn't. Let me tell you something. I didn't grow up a Christian. I believed in God. I went to church. I thought I was a Christian. But I was chasing girls all over the place when I was growing up. When I walked into a party, I just didn't want to dance with anybody. I was going to dance with the most beautiful girl. I was so arrogant. I was so worldly. It was not even funny. Thank God for forgiveness of sins. I'm telling you. Guys have one thing on their minds and one thing only. It's to get you into bed. Oh, but I love him, so I'm going to give myself up. Let me tell you something. The moment you find somebody more attractive than you, you are history. That is the truth. Again, you can take that one to the bank. Because men outside of Jesus, that is the way they are. They're a bunch of dogs. Not bulldogs. They're a bunch of dogs. Okay, I don't want you Georgia people to get upset with me. Hey, I'm just keeping it real. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to say peace, peace, where there's no peace. I never have and I never will. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is serious. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 12, he says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and stomach for food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is from God? Whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Christians. Why? Because the temptation is out there. Oh, he's a nice guy. We're just having lunch. That's where it starts. You get yourself emotionally attached to somebody. A woman is having a lousy marriage. The husband is not paying attention to her. Then she comes to work. And you're a nice guy. You're a disciple. Hey, can I talk to you for a second? Yeah. And she starts telling you all of her problems. And before you know it, you start having feelings for her. And then you have to go back home and confess that to your wife. Are you out of your mind? In this church, why do you think we have the men talking to the men and the women to the women? I will not sit down and be counseling a female anywhere. If I'm counseling a female, my wife is sitting right next to me. We're doing it together. Why? Because I am not going to create that emotional attachment. It's not going to happen. Let me tell you something. There are three people that are emotionally attached to in this life. That's my wife and my two daughters. That's it. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not going to put myself in that position. You got problems? You need to talk to the women. I mean, every once in a while you read in the news, what do you think gets all these preachers into trouble? The next thing you know, the guy is sleeping with somebody in the congregation. Why? Because she went crying to him, oh, pastor, I got this problem, I got this, I got this. And before you know it, they sleep together. You don't put yourself in that position. Amen? Amen. Somebody's got problems, refer them to your wife. You're going to find out they really want help very quickly. Hey, I can't wait for you to meet my wife. If she's after something else, she will take off very quickly. Again, I'm bringing this up because, let me tell you something, immorality, adultery would lead to divorce and it will ruin your life. And I've seen this happen to people who claim they were Christians at one point. So none of us in here is immune from this. Amen? If, for instance, the elder starts saying, you know, well, Richard, we need to redefine your work description. Well, you're going to start counseling the women. You're going to start sitting down with women one-on-one and listen to their problems and help them take care. That is the day I resign. I will tell you right now. Now, that's not about to happen. That is one thing I know, that we're doing right in the Church of Christ. It's the men talking to the women. Sorry, the men talking to the men and the women talking to the women. Amen? Because we're not going to give the devil a foothold. Amen? Very, very important. Now look in Proverbs chapter 5. And I'm about to close out. But there's so much in here. In Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs, right after Psalms. Go to Psalms and turn right. Proverbs chapter 5, in verse 1. Listen to this. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain the discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Now then, my son, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the house of her. Excuse me. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your best strength to others and your years to one who is cruel. Let strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich another man's house. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spawned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly. Look in chapter 6. In verse 27. Okay, as my back up to verse 20. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them around your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way of life. Keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute, I love this, reduces you to a loaf of bread. And the adulteress preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Folks, this is serious. Yes, you can be forgiven. But God is going to punish you. You will pay the price. When I was growing up, if you committed immorality and you got a girl pregnant, they kicked you out of school. You were expelled. Not for a few months, forever. Both the guy and the girl. Ouch. You say, oh, that's harsh. That may be harsh for you in America. That was the way it was, where I'm from. Because you see, if you go get somebody pregnant, or you get pregnant out of wedlock, you bring shame to your family. Because my mother taught me better. My father taught me better. God taught me better. And we need to think about the consequences. Amen? Again, I'm not standing up here saying I got it all figured out. Many, many times, when I faced temptation as a single person, God rescued me. And now forget, I was studying the Bible 26 years ago. I mean, when I say I was actually seriously studying the Bible. And there was a lady 2 years ahead of me at law school. She was about to graduate. That, you know, we became a commodity, boyfriend and girlfriend. We never slept together. There was no immorality or anything like that. And so one afternoon she comes over, you know, I need to have the talk. And you know what? This talk is over. I'm looking at the Bible now. We need to go our separate ways. And so she comes in this afternoon. Say, what's up? Say, well, let's go. I need to talk to you. I had a roommate, so we went to the bedroom. So let's make out. I said, no, it's not happening. I'm sorry. Ah, as a matter of fact, I was going to tell you, I've been looking at the scriptures. We're done. She got out. She walked away. She was mad. She was mad at me. A few weeks later, after her graduation, she came over to me and apologized. She said, you know what? I came over that afternoon. I had one thing on my mind, that you and I were going to sleep together, and I was going to get pregnant, because I knew if I got pregnant, you and I were going to get married. And that was my way of tying you down. And I'm standing there going, thank you, Jesus. You see, and I'm sure you got your own stories too. So I'm not saying this because I got it all figured out. But I am saying to you, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen? Amen? That when we follow God's scriptures, it works out. You know, some of us were single, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, it's a freebie. Like I said, Christian marriage is awesome. I highly recommend it. Some of us, we want to get married so bad that sometimes we lower the standard. First of all, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. This, oh Lord, help me to get married. That's your prayer. What kind of a prayer is that? You need to be praying that God, lead me to a man, lead me to a woman that's going to love you more than me. Oh, that man is going to get you to heaven. A woman like that will help you get to heaven. Are you listening to me? That ought to be your prayer. That was my prayer. When Sarah and I were going out, I said, God, give me somebody that's going to love you more than they love me. Let me tell you something. I am not ashamed of it. I love God more than I love Sarah. And if you go ask Sarah, she will tell you the same thing. That I love God more than I love Richard. Because guess what? Richard ain't God. Sarah ain't God. Sarah didn't die for my sins. Richard did not die for the sins of Sarah. Jesus did. I love God more than I love my wife. Now, she's number two. Amen? She's way up there, number two by herself. My kids are not even close. Some of us, we have that switched. That's another day, a different sermon. You gotta love God more. When you find somebody who loves God more, let me tell you something. They're gonna take you, care of you. They're gonna treat you like a queen. Why? Because they love God. That's the way to do it, amen? And so your prayer has got to be, Lord, lead me to somebody that loves you more than they love me. Because let me tell you something. If God is not enough for you right now, if God doesn't fill you up, a marriage will not do it. Oh, you did not hear me. Again, that's a different day, different sermon. If God is not all you've got, if God is not what makes you bounce and gets you out of bed in the morning, a man or a woman cannot do it. It's not possible. Don't put that kind of pressure on another human being. It's not possible. Amen? God is what makes me tick. Therefore, my wife and I can click. That's the way it works. Amen? Remember what the Bible says? A man reaps what he sows. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Galatians chapter 6. You got to be very, very careful. Very quickly, I want to give you 30 reasons why you should not commit adultery. There's a lot of reasons. Don't try and write this stuff down. I'm going to zip right through them. Number one, if you commit adultery, you destroy your relationship with God. You have to seek God, your spouses, and the forgiveness from your kids, family, and friends. Three, you will suffer the emotional consequence of guilt. Number four, you will spend countless hours replaying and regretting your failure. Number five, your spouse will suffer the scars of abuse more deeply than you can truly comprehend. Number six, you will spend countless hours in counseling. Number seven, your spouse's recovery will be long and painful. Number eight, your marriage will suffer a break in trust and intimacy. Number nine, you will be together yet feel great loneliness. Number 10, your spouse may divorce you. And as the adulterer, the Bible forbids you to remarry someone else. Do you know that that's in the Bible? If you go commit adultery and your wife divorces you or your husband divorces you, you cannot remarry. You have to stay single. As a Christian. Oh, well, you're so hardline. Let me tell you something. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's what we're going to teach in this church. Over here, they're doing this. I don't care what they're doing over there. But as for this house, we are going to obey God. Amen? Don't get me going on that one. I can preach that one someday. Number 11. The reputation of your family will suffer loss. 12. Your children will be devastated and bewildered. Number 13. Your grandkids, your grandchildren will not understand. Number 14. Your friends will be disappointed and question your integrity. Number 15. Your witness among your neighbors and co-workers will be worthless. Number 16. The church will disfellowship you if you are not repentant, broken, and contrite before God. Okay? You commit adultery, you are not broken, you are not repentant, you are not going to be a member of this church. I can tell you that right now. Okay? Because I'm not playing with God. Myself and these elders, we are going to stand before God one day and give an account. And nobody's blood is going to be on my hands. It's not happening. Not on my watch. You're going to have to go do that stuff somewhere else. You will never be placed in a position of leadership in the church. It's not going to happen. What are you going to teach other people? You see, if you go commit adultery, that's what you've just done. Number 18, you will suffer God's discipline. 19, Satan will be very happy to see you fall. 20, Satan will work overtime to see your shame never departs. 21, your children may never speak to you again. 22, an unwanted child may be produced. 23, the conception may trigger an abortion, which is murder. We talked about that one a few weeks ago. 24, disease and STDs might result. 25, your horrible example will give all Christians a bad name. 26, your business may fail because you can't be trusted. 27, your leadership among people you have led in the past will be diminished. Number 28, your health will suffer. Number 29, you might have to start life all over again. Number 30, your adultery, you should say, may affect your family for many generations. And this is just 30. You can make a list of 100. Church is not worth it. Single people, my teens, my campus students, my elementary school kids, you don't sleep with somebody until you get married. Amen? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? You say you're old fashioned. No, I'm just God fashioned. That's all it is. It's not worth it. Years ago and counting. That's Mike Tolliver. He did the wedding and also the best man. That's Aunt Brigitte's wife. She was the chief bridesmaid. I guess, as you say in America, maid of honor. Where I'm from, we say chief bridesmaid. That's 19 years ago. Now, I want to leave us with an illustration. I got an awesome marriage. I got an awesome wife. I thank God for her every day. The days I wake up and she's still sleeping, I just look and I just say, God, man, you are incredible. I mean, to allow me to be married to one of your most awesome daughters. I'm supposed to give this up for somebody else? For what? You know, one of the most expensive cars in the world is a Rolls Royce Ghost. I promise you, this car is a whole lot more expensive than your income in a year. It's one of the most expensive cars in the world. Okay? I mean, can you imagine if you had the ability and the means to drive one of these? First of all, you don't drive it yourself. You're going to have a chauffeur up front who will drive you around and come open the door and everything. All right? I mean, can you imagine having a Rolls Royce? Okay? This is what the interior looks like. This car is basically first class on wheels. That's what this car is. The seats come out. This can recline. I mean, it's incredible. Okay? I've seen a few. And I just stand by and look inside. Go, whoa. Look at this. Okay? The gas, horrible gas mileage. I guess they figure if you can afford to buy it, you can put gas into it. All right? This is the back of it. It's not just whatever. This is a computer right here. It's just beautiful. I mean, when you are inside, you don't even hear the noise outside. All right? This is the black. This is the black. You know, same car. Can you imagine? I'm not comparing my wife or my marriage to a Rolls Royce. I'm driving a Rolls Royce. That's what I've been driving. Okay? Slick car. It's as expensive as they come. Nice car. And then you expect me, excuse me, to go to that. When you, listen to me. When you commit adultery, that's what you're doing. You are trading your wife, your husband, for this. It doesn't make sense. Do you think I'm stupid? I'm supposed to give up my awesome wife and marriage for this? Now you say, well, I don't have a kind of marriage like a Rolls Royce. Then you need to get it to that point. Amen. You need help. You need counseling. Okay? Because you can get to that point. Are you listening to me? Again, can you imagine living in this? I mean, this is a beautiful house. I can't imagine how much you pay people to come clean this every week. It's a lot of money. Can you imagine going from this to this? When you commit adultery, that's what you're doing. You're giving up your incredible mansion. You're giving up your incredible life. And you're settling for this. I hope you are not that foolish. Remember, without holiness, you will not see the Lord. You shall not commit adultery. God knows what he's talking about. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, Richard, for telling us the truth today. I really hope we all listen to the lesson today. And I think some of us, sometimes we zone out and we think that some messages for other people, for everybody in here, from the little kids in here to those old married couples like me and Nina, you know, it applies to us. And we don't need to settle at any point in our lives. God gives us the rules that he gives us for a reason, and it's to protect us, and it's to give us beautiful things in our lives, and we never need to settle for less. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to know you, to know the truth. Father, to understand that the devil is a liar, and when he offers us things that don't belong to us, that you told us that we're forbidden to have, that, Father, there's always a hidden agenda. There's always a hidden cost to it. There's something to damage us, to hurt us, to kill us spiritually. And, Father, I pray that you'll help us to stay away from those things. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to be grateful for being in a place where we can learn the truth, where we can learn from the scriptures, we can learn from other people's examples, that we don't always have to learn things the hard way. And I pray, Father, that we'll be grateful enough for that to change our lives and live the lives that you want us to live. Father, I pray that you'll help us to have great days today. I pray, Father, that you'll take care of us the rest of the week, that you'll help us to put into practice the things that we've heard, and, Father, to be holy because you are holy. Father, these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.